Father, bless these words to our hearts, in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 9. In verse 23, Jesus said to the man who brought his son to him, there was this man whose son was possessed by a demon, and the demon was doing terrible things to him. And Jesus said to him, if you are able to believe, all things are possible to the one believing. And immediately crying out, the father of the child said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. This is not an uncommon situation. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, generally, I believe, you could almost say at a distance. But I don't know if I believe specifically for this circumstance. I don't know that I believe enough to have a capacity in this type of a thing. I want something from you, God, so desperately that I'm almost afraid to believe you'll give it to me. Because how badly I want it, and therefore I'm afraid that I won't receive it. A father's love for his son, you can certainly understand this. This child is being tormented by the devil. The father is no doubt at his wit's end. Hears about Jesus who is delivering people from demons. And he comes to him pleading, and he says to him, all things are possible to the ones who believe. Now, how is that? How is it that all things are possible to the ones who believe? Because plenty of times, we have entered into situations where God had not, by appearances, answered the prayer that we asked. Now, I'm not going to get into why that happens, except to say that it's not what it appears to be. That if I don't get a request fulfilled from God, it's because God has a reason, something in mind. Maybe I'm asking for the wrong thing without knowing it. Maybe I'm asking for something that would actually harm me. Maybe I'm just not ready to receive it. Any number of reasons. But there's always a reason. But that's a little bit of a different issue, though. The issue is about believing. Why is it that sometimes it's easy, and why is it sometimes that it's hard? In 1 Corinthians 13:7, love believes all things. Now, when you look at this in most commentaries and different study materials, some wonderful scholars who have a great deal of respect for say some very silly things. And they'll say things like, well, you're believing in people, or you're trusting people, or you're basically believing the best about people. Love believes all things. That has nothing to do with anything. One of them says you're trusting people. That has nothing to do with anything. The context here, for love believes all things, is 1 Corinthians 13:6, the verse right prior to it, where it says, love does not rejoice in iniquity, love rejoices in truth. And so it's not about, well, I'm trusting people, well, I'm believing the best in people, or anything like that. I believe in people. That was a silly one. But I saw that. I believe in people. And that's what it said, I believe in people. No, I don't believe in people. Jesus did not believe in people. Okay, he knew what was in people's hearts. He did not put his trust in people. It's not about being gullible, and it's not about believing in people, and it's not about trusting them. It's not saying those who love do these things. In other words, 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 8 gives you a whole bunch of characteristics. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not seek its own. It's not puffed up. It's not vain. It doesn't envy. And so on. But it's not saying that those who love do or don't do these things. It's saying that love does these things. We often see it as a way of relating to people, and certainly it's applicable for that. I'm not saying it doesn't apply, but if we don't understand what it's actually saying, then we won't be able to understand how to utilize it, how to apply it in our lives in a practical way. If I have to be patient with people, if I have to be kind to people, if I have to be whatever, if I have to believe all things, then I'm essentially entering into a works trip. I'm not promoting being unkind, but I'm saying that's not what it's saying. It's not promoting a works trip. It's not us producing love. It's not us, because we love, doing certain things. No, it's love that's doing these things. It's not us, it's love. There's a big difference in that. We don't try to do things, we simply exercise Romans 5:8. In Romans 5:8, we are made to be one with the love of God. It says there, God commends His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That word commends is sunesthesin, and it's not recommends like some people put it. The word literally means to take two things and make one out of them. God takes us in love and He makes us one. So when I enter into the 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 experience, I'm not actually trying to do anything. My focus is not to do. My focus is simply to be who God has made me to be. That's my concern. Be who God has made me to be. Live in that which God has made me to be. We're not meant to live apart from who God made us to be. And if it is true, and it is, that I as a believer am one with the love of God, and so is every other believer that is alive on earth ever, then I don't have to try to love people. I live in my oneness with God's love, and then I simply manifest what I am to them. Love will manifest itself. Well, we're one with the love of God. If I'm rightly related in my own frame of reference, in my own heart to God, love will manifest itself. So I'm not going to say to myself, well, I'm going to have to be patient with this one because, man, look at that, they're awfully difficult. So I got to be really patient with them. That's not how it works. If you go about it that way, you're going to be in a works trip that you won't able to maintain indefinitely. You might be able to maintain it for a while, but eventually it'll fail on you. But then that's not what we're being asked for. We live in who we are. The problem is when we don't live in who we are. But we live in who we are. And when we live in who we are becomes manifested. Well, we are one person with Christ. I wish I could get people to actually believe that. We are one person with Christ. Ephesians 2, 15 and 16. We are one person with Christ. Because we are one person with Christ, in Ephesians 2, 6, we're seated in heavenly places. It's not hard for me to believe all things when I'm one person with Christ, when I'm seated in heavenly places. I'm no longer looking at, I'm looking upon, you could say. In heavenly places, you can see all points of time simultaneously. This is how God knows the past, present, and future. Because, as Einstein showed us, the past, present, and future are all taking place in this very moment. God sees the past, present, and future, and every point in there. And he sees exactly how the plan played out, because God put the plan into place. He put it into time like it was putting dishes on a table. He put it in there. He can see the whole thing from the beginning to the end. And he's looking upon this table of time and all of the plan, all of the details of the plan, all the nuances and the intricacies and the decisions and the people and everything that's all involved in this plan. God sees it as it's there now. If I'm in heavenly places in Christ, I have the same opportunity through faith to see the past, present, and future, to see the plan, to see the nuances, the intricacies, the people involved, the whole nine yards. I can see it all by faith. Because faith is my connection to heavenly places. Now, in Genesis 3:7, when the eyes of Adam and Eve were opened, when their natural perception apart from the Word of God was opened, they didn't see things God saw them anymore. And that's because in self-orientation, Adam and Eve started to live apart from who God made them to be. God made them naked, and now naked was a problem. Why is it that the way God has made somebody is a problem? Yet, this was the problem. God made them naked, and naked was a problem. So what was the problem about what God made? You see, they were living apart from who God made them to be, and all of a sudden, problems arose that were not actually problems. This happens to people all the time. A person lives in self-orientation, that in and of itself will take them into living outside of the way God made them to be, and everything becomes a problem. They'll see problems, they'll invent problems, they'll find problems. You can look under a rock, you'll find a problem. And it's all about perceptions. Their perceptions are messed up, and because their perceptions are messed up, everything becomes an issue. That's what happens here. If I'm operating apart from faith, everything becomes an issue, including believing all things. How is it that we believe all things? Because all things are finished. It is finished, Jesus said. All things are finished. We say to ourselves, how is that possible? We say to ourselves, that may not work out. We say to ourselves, I don't get it. We say to ourselves, this is beyond me. But in Matthew 19:26, with God all things are possible. There's nothing that's not possible with God. With God all things are possible. One of the reasons why we think that something may not be possible, one of the reasons why we doubt, is because we lack this eternal perspective. We think time is simply the passage of moments, whereby in reality all moments of time, whether past, present, or future, they all exist simultaneously. This is what Einstein showed us. That's the principle of creation relativity. If you're listening online, go to Amazon and look up creation relativity. Download the book. It's very cheap. It'll completely change the way you think toward time, toward the plan of God, because we need to start thinking about these things in reality. Reality is, I can believe because the work is finished. And all I'm believing is what's already finished. I pray that somebody gets saved, but it's difficult because I look at the way they behave, or maybe their lifestyle or something about them by sight. I look at the way they speak, I look at the way they are, and I say to myself, how in the world is this person ever going to get saved? And God says, it is finished. If I'm looking from the standpoint of seated in heavenly places, then it is finished is no problem at all. Because all points of time exist simultaneously and they're right in front of me. In Matthew 21:22, the Word of God says that whatever you ask in prayer, believing it, you shall receive it. But that's something that's very difficult to accept if my viewpoint is not, it is finished. If my viewpoint is that there is still something that has to happen before the prayer can be answered, or maybe God has not answered the prayer and I'm still waiting, in your experience, that may be the case, but in your position seated above in heavenly places, it's already there. It's already answered. It's already your possession. You simply haven't caught up to it yet in your experience. But you will. Love believes all things because it's love that's doing the believing. It's not you. Love is the essential character of God. 1 John 4:8. It's not you. When I live in the character of God, which is in truth the character of who I am, as the one new man, as the body of Christ, then of course love believes all things. Who else is there? It's not you. In Isaiah 46:10, God said, He declares the end from the beginning. Now, how can He do that? Well, He knows what's coming. Well, not exactly. That's from a human standpoint. God knew what came. What happened? God knew what happened. God knows the design. Don't think of time as a line being drawn, because that's the way we experience time. But that's not what time is. My lack of properly relating to time is why there's a lot of things in the Bible that give me a lot of trouble, especially things regarding faith, regarding believing, regarding prayer. But if I understand time as it actually is, time as God sees it, then I'll have no problem at all. It is finished. Today is just as present as yesterday and is tomorrow, right now. That's Einstein. That's not me. That's not even Bible. Although the Bible does talk about it in 2 Peter 3:8, for example. Today is just as present as yesterday or as tomorrow. The first day and the last day are still here. Things that happen on the fourth day, well, there's places in the universe where the fourth day exists now. Time is not a universal standard. Time is a universal variable. And so we have to understand that. When God declares the end from the beginning, it's because God has already completed both the end and the beginning. That's why I tell people, don't think of time as a line being drawn. It's really more like a wave washing up on shore. Sometimes people will say, then we don't have any participation or any free volition because everything's been determined. And once again, you don't understand how time works. Time is forming at this moment, every point of it. And God knows how it forms, because He can see every point of it. He's forming all of it simultaneously. Then He says, my counsel will stand and I will do all my good pleasure. Of course His counsel will stand. Of course He'll do His pleasure. He's already done it. His counsel is already present. His word has already defined it. It is honestly finished. love does the believing because it's God who does the creating, and He is love. God believes what He does. God believes what He says. God believes every promise He gives. God believes the desired outcome on everything. Please understand that if you are born again, you are one person with Christ. And so for me to believe is not trying to hope that something is going to take place. For me, I don't try to believe or not believe. I simply live in who God has made me to be. And then I think as what I am. In order to do that, I certainly do need the Word of God in order to have the mind of Christ, since I'm the body of Christ. But if I simply think in who God has made me to be, then I will manifest who I am. If I am one with love, and the Bible says in Romans 5:8 that I am one with love, then I'm simply who I am. And I manifest who I am. But I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just being. If I live in self-orientation, then I'm trying to live apart from who God has made me to be, apart from my design. That's why it doesn't work in self-orientation, because it's not who I am. And the things that I'll manifest in self-orientation are not who I am, but who Satan has lied to me about, saying that's who I am, when I'm not. The whole idea is that we're made to be one with the love of God. And so we can believe all things. Because we are one with the love of God. And love believes all things. It's love that's doing it. Not me. It's love that's doing it. I simply live in the union that God has given me with love. But it's love that's doing it. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love, I have become as a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophecies and I know all mysteries and all knowledge, and have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I'm nothing. And if I give out all of my goods and I deliver my body that I be burned, but I do not have love, I am profited nothing. Why? Because if I do whatever it is, if I self-sacrifice whatever it is that people find so noble and worthy in other people in a human sense, if I enter into all these things that people admire, but I don't have love, then I'm not even who I am. No wonder I'm nothing. No wonder it profits nothing. No wonder I have nothing, because I'm not even who I am outside of the love of God. People look at this in relationships. Love in relationships. You know, the way that we operate in relationships is to live in who we are in Christ, in love. One with Christ, one with the love of God. He is love. One with Him. And when I manifest that oneness with Him, then love will be the result of it, because I'm one with love. I simply manifest who I am. That's why you never try to have a natural relationship with another person. Relationships with other people only take place, if they're godly, when they are the result of my relationship with God manifesting that oneness with God, and the other person gets to enjoy that manifestation. And likewise, that person is manifesting who they are with God in Christ as love, as the one new man, and I get to enjoy the manifestation of that also, and therein is a relationship. We tend to think of relationships as horizontal events, when in truth they're vertical events. They're events that take place out of my relationship vertically with God, and that produces a connection horizontally with another person. Anything else is simply soul power. Something about my soul appreciates something about your soul. The problem with that is, as soon as your soul stops manifesting the thing that I appreciate, love is gone. Soul power relationships are simply another work trip. They're not real love. But people approach relationships that way, and it's not good. Love, apart from the oneness that I have with him, is a religious exercise. The difference between a relationship and religion is love. Sometimes people get very religious toward each other rather than loving one another. In other words, they try to perform love, being religious one toward another, rather than simply living in the oneness that they have with Christ, who is love, letting that manifest toward the other person. If I have religious love, I'm also going to have expectations, because religion produces expectations. But if I'm simply living in the oneness of who I am in Christ, I don't have expectations. I have a relationship with God. What expectations do I need? Now, it didn't say loving. It did not say loving believes all things. It did not say loving is patient. It did not say loving is kind. It said love. Noun, not verb. Noun. Love does the doing by its very nature. We don't do anything except live in who God made us to be. But love does the doing. 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 8. Love does the doing. Now, if you don't understand your oneness with Christ, this will make absolutely no sense to you. But if you accept the oneness that God says you have with him in Romans 5:8 and Ephesians 2:15, you'll have no problem with this at all. It's love that does the loving, not me. I just live in who I am. And that's what I manifest. You're not going to be able to help that. You're going to manifest who you are one way or the other. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart reveals that which is good. The evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart reveals that which is evil, in Luke chapter 6. You're going to manifest what's in there. But if my orientation is through God, but if my orientation is through who God made me to be rather than self-orientation, I will manifest who God made me to be. In self-orientation, I will manifest the things that come with self-orientation. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, all things are from God. All things are from love. You could say God is love. 1 John 4:8, all things are from love. No wonder love can believe all things. All things are from love. The Lord's counsel will stand in Proverbs 19:21. I don't have to be anxious, because if I'm living in who I am, it's because I'm living in the Lord's counsel, and then everything stands. Because the Lord's counsel is regarding everything. But if I take counsel and it's not from God, it will not stand, in Isaiah 8:10. Because it is from self. And self has no power. Self has no ability. Me apart from God is a helpless situation. But we simply manifest who we are. We are the beloved of God. We are one person with Christ. We are the chosen generation. We are the ones that Jesus calls His own. We are the ones He will never leave or forsake. We are the ones who He calls His bride. We are the body of Christ. We are the oneness of who God is. We are the union, the members of the second person of the triune God. We are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, made one with Him, made one with the love of God. And so you're simply who you are, but who you are cannot take place unless you are filled with the mind of God. Because it's the mind of God that transforms you in your practical experience, in your thinking, into who you are already in your position. So a person never has to worry about, well, I have to be patient, I have to be kind, I can't believe this, I can't do this, I have to bear all things, I have to believe all things, I have to endure all things, I have to... If you get into that, you're going to get into a very unpleasant work trip and you'll never be able to sustain it. All you really need is to be one person with Him. In your thinking. That'll come through the Word. I have His mind. I'm already His possession. I'm already His body. I'm already sealed by the Holy Spirit. I'm already indwelled by Him. All I need now is to think with His mind. And who I am will become manifested. And as far as relationships goes, because this is something that we do apply to relationships, of course, in 2 Corinthians 5:16, from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. Sometimes people say that is to regard people according to their flesh. We see their flesh in action and we don't take account of it. But that's not what it says. The original language brings out that we don't know them according to our own flesh. Out of our own flesh is a source for understanding. Out of our own old sin nature. We don't live by sight. We don't walk by sight. We don't live by hearing. We don't evaluate with the natural mind. We don't consider according to what we see. We consider according to the Word of God. That's how we engage in relationships. In a relationship, you simply live in who you are in the oneness with Christ. In order to do that, you have to cultivate who you are and your oneness with Christ. If you bring that to a relationship, then the relationship, when it's brought by both people, can be a wonderfully rich relationship. When it's brought by only one person, it can be a very powerful ministry. And when it's not brought by either, but rather both people are manifesting the flesh, it's nothing other than a disaster. There'll be no joy in a relationship like that. But that's not what we're made for. We're made for oneness with the love of God. Love believes all things. Love is patient. Love is kind. Who? Love. Me? No. Love. And I happen to be one with love. And since I know how to cultivate that through my relationship to the Word of God, which is the mind of Christ, then me reflecting who I am, and that resulting in things like patience and kindness, bearing and believing all things, not being puffed up, not thinking evil, not seeking your own, all these things, that's simply a manifestation as I live in who I am. And if I live in who I am not through living in the old sin nature, then the evil treasure will be manifested also. But it's so much better to manifest the good treasure. It's so much more fulfilling. It's so much more satisfying. It's so much richer. That's where in relationships, richness comes from. It's not from my soul with the influences of the old sin nature trying to make things all wonderful with your soul and the influences of your old sin nature. That's never going to work. That's why you have an 80% divorce rate out there. 50% among Christians. It's when I live in who I am, because I cultivate who I am, individually with Him, without the influence of the other person. And then I have something to bring to the table, and they have something to bring to the table. And it's not in performance. It's simply in being who I am. And who I am is the manifestation of Christ, of love. And so love will believe all things. Love will endure all things. Love will, because it's love doing it. And since I'm one with love, I simply manifest who I am as love is doing it. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me, so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."